We're going to do something a little different in the next 5 or 6 weeks. We're going to take a look at specific topics. And the topics are going to be addressing things that can hamper our relationship with God. So, today we're talking about anger. Think about what makes you angry. I mean, really angry. I'm not talking about, oh, darn. No, I'm talking about, oh, really angry. How do you deal with that? Think about a time when you were incredibly angry and you'd handled it not so well. And a time when you were incredibly angry and you handled it beautifully. Because there's two ways to handle this. Sometimes when we get upset, we feel like that. It's like, ah! I can't believe they did that. But we don't have to feel like that. We can feel like that. Oh, whatever. Okay. And I'm not going to let myself get angry over this or that. Because in reality, in the big picture, in the really big picture of my life, this is just not worth my anger getting out of line over. So, the two pictures would seem to indicate we have an option as to how we will handle anger. So that's what we're going to look at today, anger. Here we go. Anger is a strong emotional response to any variety of stimuli perceived as negative. What's that really mean? That means anger is something that happens inside of us as a result of something else. As a result of something else. It's passion. You don't usually get upset about things you don't care about. It's the things that you really care about that you really get upset about. So, someone says something ugly about your neighbor that you don't even know. Does that upset you? Whatever. Someone says something ugly about a family member. Yes, that does. So, it's a passion directed towards one who inflicts real or supposed wrong. Well, what if I'm mad at myself? See, it still fits. Still fits. Because I see myself then as the one who's what? Done something wrong, real or supposed. I see myself as the one who's done that. And I'm like really mad at myself. Why did I say that? Oh, I can't believe I said that in front of all those people. How do I take that back? Strong feeling of displeasure and belligerence. What a great word, belligerence. We're talking about anger. Woo. Aroused by a wrong. So there's more, many, many, many definitions. But you can see that the basis here is that something is happening and it provokes emotional response, passion, or strong feelings about that event. So here's the real deal. If you cut out all the craziness, here's what it means. It's a personal response based upon personal perception of a stimuli. It's my response based on my perception of something. Can my perception be wrong? 99% of the time, it probably is. So is my anger then wrong? If my perception's wrong, the anger's wrong. So, you know, that kind of tells you something right there. Personal response based on a personal perception of some type of a stimulus. If it's a personal response based on a personal perception, then that means I have a choice. I have a choice. And my choice is going to be, how will I handle my anger? What am I going to do with it? Something happened. I felt angry, and the third step is, what do I do about it? How do I handle this anger I feel because of this? So it's something happened, I feel this way, and now I have to decide what I'm going to do. And that decision as to what I'm going to do is where I now have my options. I have great options, but that's where they are. How will I respond to this? So here's some questions we need to lay out first and get rid of these questions. First of all, is anger a sin? Is anger a sin? No, it's a natural human response. As a matter of fact, it can be very, very healthy and positive. Because if you're in something, you're in a situation, an event takes place or a conversation, and all of a sudden you begin to feel angry, you begin to have these feelings inside of you, it's like this warning going off in your head and in your heart, hey, something's wrong, something's going on, something's not right. Why am I feeling this way about what this person just said? Holy cow, do they really think that about me? Is that the way they see me? Is that true? So you see, when those emotions begin to kick in, if you're thinking about it, it can be like this warning sign, which can be a good thing. What's going on? Why do I feel this way? Whoa, what's going on? What do I need to do? Does everybody feel that way? Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Give me a break. Yes, maybe you are wrong. Yes. So is it a sin to be angry? It's a God-given part of who we are. Is it okay to be angry with God? I vote yes. Absolutely. Does God ever mess up? Yes. In my book, in my world, in my perception, sometimes it looks like he messes things up because he doesn't do what he's supposed to do as fast as he's supposed to do it. And no matter how much I pray and how much I talk to him about it, he still doesn't do what Kip Younger thinks he needs to do as fast as he should do it and the way he's supposed to do it. And it just makes me mad. So sometimes when I go walking, I have an opportunity just to talk to God out loud because no one's with me when I go walking. And I can just say, hey, listen, I got to tell you, man, this ain't working. This is not working for me. Here's the deal. You know it. Here's how I feel. You know that. Here's what I'm looking at. And you know that. But you know what? I don't see you doing much of anything between this and this. What is the deal? Where are you? What are you doing? Come on. And you know what happens? The more I talk about it, suddenly I begin to talk the answer. It just comes out. And I'll hear it. I'll hear it. I can't believe I just said that. Well, you didn't, you moron. It was God speaking through you to answer that. It's like, wow. So it's okay to be mad at God? Yeah. But I recommend you tell him. I recommend you tell him how upset you feel. Can he deal with that? Yes. Is he going to smite you with lightning? No. No. Is he going to give you some horrible disease? No. Is he going to touch your heart and love you? Yes. Does he already know it? Yes. So who are you really telling when you tell God? I'm telling yourself. This is how I feel. And I need you to help me with this. So if you get mad at God, tell him. Send him an email, call him. Are all anger responses sin? Nope, because sin's a matter of choice. Sin's a matter of choice. So if I get mad, how I respond is my choice. I don't have to sin as a result of being angry about something. I don't have to. I got the option. How do I know if it's a sin or not then? Who's it glorify? Someone says something, and I heard about it, and I feel indignant about this. And so now I decide, ooh, I will say something about them. I will say something about them. Who am I glorifying? Me. Is that a sin? Yeah, pretty much. Someone does something, and you say, oh, get even. Oh, get even. Is that a sin? Maybe thinking about getting even is not so much a sin, but the act, I vote yes. Because it glorifies me. But what if I glorify God in my feelings of anger? Then that won't be a sin. So if I want to know if my anger result is a sin or not, I just need to stop for a second and say, whoa, before you say something stupid or do something even stupider, who is this going to honor and glorify? If it's me, it's wrong answer. If it's God, perfect. Go for it. Go for it. So today's text, we're going to use these texts for the next couple weeks very differently than we have for the last however many months I've been here. We're not going to tear the text apart. They're more illustration than they are to grow and learn out of them alone. So here's the event. You ready? Here's the event. In the temple, Jesus comes into Jerusalem, Passover time, all of that. Temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he rolls into town, and this is what he sees going on in the temple. So this is the stimuli. This is the event. This is what he sees, he hears, he experiences. It touches his mind, touches his heart. He's taking it all in. Places filled with people. There's lots of noise going on and all that. And he's taking all of this in. This is the stimulus. This is the event. This is his perception. Stop turning my Father's house into a market. The perception he had was that the selling of this cattle and the money changers and all of that was making his Father's place of worship, in some scriptures and some gospels, it calls it a den of thieves and all that kind of stuff, that these people are creating a huge injustice against the house of God. He saw them doing this stuff. His personal perception, they're turning my Father's house into a marketplace, into a den of thieves. That's his perception. What was his anger response? Oh, it was good. It was real good. He made a whip out of cords, drove all from the temple courts, both the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changer, and he overturned all their tables. Was that a sin? Was he angry? Yes. Was it a sin? Nope. How do we know it's not a sin? Because he's Jesus. I mean, that one's almost too easy, right? He didn't do any sins. But then you got to take a look at it. Okay, wait a minute. He drove these people out and cords, and it's not a... You mean I can do that? We're going there. We're going there. How do we know that his anger response was not a sin? Because he didn't glorify himself. He's standing up for the Father's house. He exalted the Father and the house of the Father. So it wasn't about him. It was about his Father's house and the injustice that it was being served by these folks who are doing these different things. This is a picture from the we ran that video clip the first time we used this scripture. And it's just a picture of that clip. How's he look? Does he look like he's getting ready to sing happy birthday to Joy? Today's Joy's birthday. And does he look like he's getting ready to sing happy birthday? No, no. Does he look upset? Yes. Is he aggravated? Yes. In the video clip, you remember, his voice was a little elevated, yes? Yes. He wasn't going around with the whip saying, oh, you bad people. No, 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 no. But we look at that and we say, oh, that's not a sin. Are you kidding me? There's a fine line between sin and righteousness. And I got to tell you, if that was me, I don't even have to guess. I'd have crossed over that line. I'd been whacking those people with that cord. I'd been whacking more than their stupid goats and sheep. I'd been chasing them. I wouldn't be messing with the goats and sheep. I'd be whacking the people. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Yeah, for me, that probably would have been pretty ugly, pretty sinful, pretty mean-spirited kind of thing. But he didn't sin in anything. So for me, that just kind of says, you know, this very fine line. Which way we go in our anger response puts us on one side or the other side. I can choose to remain on the side of righteousness, or I can choose to get on the side of sin. It's totally up to me. It's up to me. And he stayed on the side of righteousness. Here's some scriptures that kind of help outline and set that line for us. James 1:19. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become, to start being angry. What's that really mean? Shut up and listen. I mean, shut up and listen. You know what happens when you talk? You can't hear the Holy Spirit. You can't hear the Holy Spirit very well. In a conflict, in something that you're angry with. But if you're quiet, and you're just letting your mind and your heart take stuff in, and you keep this closed, keep it closed. Keep it closed, because once you open it, you know something stupid could come out of it, so just keep it closed. And let the Holy Spirit work. You'll probably be a lot better off. I know I'd probably be a lot better off. Ephesians 4:26, in your anger. Paul says, in your anger. So does Paul believe you can be angry? Of course. In your anger, do not choose sin. Colossians 3:8-12. Paul says, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, and it goes on to list a whole bunch of things that are correlated as results of anger. Instead, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make a choice in how you choose to deal with your anger. So anger responses, when are they sin? They're sin when they're motivated by pride. I feel like I have to defend myself because my pride has been struck, and I need to say something to defend myself, to right myself, whatever it may be, or to attack this other person because they've attacked me and my pride is hurt, then I got a really good chance it's going to be sin. When it's unproductive and it distorts God's purpose, when it's unproductive, have you ever been in an argument or a conflict or confrontation that's been totally unproductive? Why? Because you got two hotheads yelling at each other. What are you going to get out of that? A lot of hot air, but you're not going to get any positive results, more than likely. You're just going to get two hotheads yelling at each other, and they're not going to agree, and they're just going to go their separate ways. It's very unproductive, and it distorts God's purpose for my life and for that person's life. Now, it's allowed to linger. When it's allowed to linger, 10 years go by, but you can still remember the day so-and-so, you think, said maybe something about you. When it's allowed to linger. When we attack the wrongdoer instead of the issue. Instead of the issue. So, the issue is here, and this person we perceive is connected to the issue. Instead of going to the issue, we go to the person. And we just want to beat this person up for something we perceive their connection with that. And that's going to get you in a lot of trouble. When it just continues to boil and boil and boil and boil and boil and boil without restraint. It just flows out like this huge, huge thing. And you say something, it's like sticking a pin in it. And it just keeps coming out and coming out and coming out and coming out. We went to the Villages yesterday just to get to hang out and get away from Homosassa and, go out to the big city and see the real world. We went to the Villages. And we're walking along, and we're leaving this one little area where they were. When we first got there, they had a lot of those stupid little tent things you set up and you sell stuff on it. You know what I'm talking about? So they had all of these things set up, and we're walking back out to the car. And there's this older couple walking way over there. And she said something to him about the tents. Do you think those people had to bring their own tents in? Or do you think that the Villages gave those people those tents? And he said to her, well, of course they had to bring their own tents in. Well, you fool. You think the Villages set these up? And she's not going to let go of it either. See, she's not going to let go of this. Well, that's a lot of work to bring those tents in, isn't it? Well, of course that's a lot of work to bring those tents in. And on they went the whole way. And it's like, wow. Really? Do you think he's an angry person? You think he's been angry a long time? Think he's handled it pretty good? It's a sin when you hold a grudge. Just want to let go of this. 42 years ago, 6 months, 3 days, and 18 minutes ago, you did this to me. And I'm still pretty upset about it. When you hold a grudge, because grudges just do what? They eat your heart out. They twist your perception, so now no matter what happens, your perception is, oh, they're just out to get me like that person did to me 42 years ago. They're just out to get me. It screws up everything. And when you hold a grudge, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any good to continue to be angry. It just sucks life out of you. And so it's a sin to hold a grudge. Holding a grudge means I've not taken it to God. I'm dealing with this. I can deal with this. How's it going so far? Not good. It's been 42 years, 6 months, and 18 days ago, but I'm working on it. Don't hold grudges. Let them go. So here's how we're supposed to take care of our anger. You ready? I got to tell you right up front, because I don't want to be accused of being plagiaristic or anything. The internet is a wonderful thing, and some of this stuff came from gotquestions.org. So if you go to gotquestions.org, you will see some of this. Number one, check your personal involvement. Why am I angry? Why is this situation just torquing me right out of shape? What's going on in this situation, in this circumstance? Why is it that what this person just said to me, why is that making me feel like this? What is it, my pride? Is it hurting me? Am I trying to act out in malice? Am I just handling my anger wrong? I mean, where am I at in this situation first? Where am I? Where am I in this mess? Why do I feel this way? Check there first. Because you know what? It could just be you. Someone says something to you, talks you out of shape. Someone says something to the very next person, they laugh, they see it as something else, and they go on about their business. Check yourself. I got to check myself. Why does this bother me so much? What's going on in my goofy little head that this is so bothersome to me? And that can open a huge bucket of worms. Number two, trust that God is aware, always aware. And he's involved and he's always sovereign. He's aware, he's involved, and he's sovereign. And he allows it to happen. He allows it to happen. Before you ever conceived, God knew that on a particular day, someone's going to say something to you and you're going to get all bent out of shape about it. And you're going to do this, this, and this about it. He already knows. That's why it's good just to tell him. Because he already knows. Why would he let things upset good Christian folk? Because of free will. Everybody has free will to do or say whatever they want about anything. And you have free will to deal with it. I have free will to decide, how am I going to handle this? It makes me really mad. How am I going to deal with it? One thing I need to know is that God already what? Knows. He already knows. And if he knows, then number three, probably just need to let God be God. If this is the way this person always acts, who's making me angry, if this is the way they live their life, this is the way they decide to make choices in life, and this is the way they're going to go through life, then you know what? Probably not much I can do for them. I can pray for them. But you know what? In the end, they will stand before God. So I'm going to let God be God. And I'm not going to try and be God. Return good for evil. Oh, you serious? Sorry. Write a little note. Little email. Not a lot of detail. Just, you know, thinking about you. Sorry about the mess. Send them a little something. Good for evil. I think that's in the scripture somewhere. Is it? Yep. I think so. Yep. Communicate to solve the issue. Communicating is not yelling. Communicating is not yelling at each other. Communicating is not accusations. Communicating is not necessarily bringing up all the things that happened 62 years ago and you've never forgotten them. Should have dealt with them 62 years ago, but you know what? If you're still there, then you need to sit and talk. Just talk. The other day, when we were walking, you said this. You know, at the time, that really bothered me. And I'm not sure why it bothers me, but I just need to let you know that really bothered me. You talk. Now, am I good at this stuff? No, of course not. But this is what they said you should do, and I think it's pretty good stuff. You should just talk. You should just talk. Put up stricter boundaries. There's this one person that irritates the heck out of you every time you get near him. You just know. You see him coming. He's like, oh! Please let me just hide behind this candlestick. Let me be invisible. And you'll just think this radiant glow is coming off the back of my head and everything will be fine. Set up stricter boundaries. Don't connect with the person. That sounds rude. Really? But if they treat you that way, who's rude? Think about that one. You don't have to be a doormat. Put up boundaries. Put up boundaries. Understand that we are basically responsible, irregardless. We are responsible for whatever it is we do. We're going to be responsible for whatever actions we take. And we cannot say, well, I did that because he said that. Okay, he might have said that, but you know what? Didn't handle that very well. You had no right to do that. That's not a godly way of dealing with things. Ultimately, guess who's going to be responsible for his personal anger reactions? Me. I'm not responsible for yours. And praise God, you're not responsible for mine. I am. And you, yours. So how do we deal with all of this? Here we go. How do we deal with it? Number one, call upon the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to come into your life and help you do the things you cannot do. Because returning good for evil, are you kidding me? Have a quiet, heartfelt conversation instead of yelling and screaming and fighting. Are you kidding me? No. But you see, these are not things that are basically humanly possible for everybody to do. But if Jesus Christ lives and breathes in your life and in your soul and in your heart, you have the gift of the power of the resurrection. What season are we in today? Easter. The tomb was empty 2 weeks ago. Then we had communion. We're still in Easter. This is, you go look at the liturgical calendar. This is the third Sunday of Easter. Easter. So you use the resurrection power, and you can do it more than just this season, obviously. You use the resurrection power of God to empower you to do these things. Because the resurrection power of God brings life where death is prevailing. It brings new life to wherever it is in your life that death is prevailing. It's only available through the Holy Spirit. Kip Younger does not have the power to do this on his own. Trust me, he does not have the power to do this on his own. He can only do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. It demands, it absolutely demands that we release what is killing us. It demands that we release what is killing us. If there's a grudge, it's killing me. I gotta let it go. It was only 42 years ago, but I've got to let this thing go because it's going to kill me. Resurrection power brings new life to what is killing me, to me if I'm dying. And if I'm holding this stuff and I'm not dealing with this stuff very well, it's killing me, and I need to let it go so the power of God can flow within my life and give me new life, give me new life. And utilization is just expected. Utilization of this power is just expected by God in our lives. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? Those who are in Christ Jesus. If Christ Jesus is my Lord and Savior, you know what? The old is gone. I'm a new creature. The old is gone. And that means all the ways I used to handle my anger and used to do things about my anger, all those are, they were ungodly. All those are gone. And you know what? The new has come. Those in Christ Jesus are new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. Even the way I deal with my anger, the new has got to come because I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. And I can do all things through Jesus Christ. All things through Christ. Even live as a new creation. But it's only going to work for me by the power of God in my life. That Jesus Christ brings life to what is dead and dying. And he can do it to me in the issues of anger. He can do it to me. One last thing. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Go get help. What? Go get help. Well, I thought if I just prayed about it, everything would be okay. And it may well be. But don't you know that we are at various stages of faith? I'm not up there with all the saints. I'm way down here somewhere. And so we're all at various stages of faith. You say, well, how are you doing with that anger thing? Well, I'm praying about it. What kind of prayers you pray? Well, I pray, God, sorry I was mad. Help me. And that's it. Seriously? That's it? That's it? That's it, right? That's it? And has anything happened yet? I mean, have you just, like, really committed yourself and died before God? Have you just opened your heart? No. I just said, hey, help me, you know. And so is it working? Well, not very well. You know, it's not very well. I don't understand. Do you know, there is nothing wrong with getting help. I said there's nothing wrong with getting professional help for issues like anger. When you sit with a counselor, and a trained counselor knows what to ask, do you not think that that's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you not think that a counselor is going to ask me questions that I may not have asked myself? Absolutely. And do you not think that as I meditate over those questions that the Holy Spirit is not going to say to me, see, see, see? That's what I've been trying to tell you all these years. See, see, see? There is nothing wrong with professional help. Don't let it be stigmatized. Don't let it be stepped on or whatever the right word is, because there's simply nothing wrong with good professional counseling and help. Because some folks are just time bombs, just waiting to go off, just waiting to explode. And I think when we were walking out yesterday, this guy was just spewing. You know how your hot water heater has that little stupid valve on it? It's supposed to let the steam off or whatever the thing's supposed to do, you know, when it gets too hot or whatever it does. I think that's what he was doing. And I think he was just like ready to explode. He needed to go talk to someone. Not his wife. Too close. He talked to her enough. If that's you on the right, You know what you can become? You can become like that. You can just be chilled out over all of this. But not, I'm going to suggest, only on your own efforts. Only through the power of God to work in your life. Only through the power of God to work in my life can things come under control and things come to peace and not be this current eruption of emotions and all that stuff. Only the power of God brings that down and helps me see it in a different light. And don't you know that that light draws me closer to God? Because I know it's not in here, on my own power. This is what gets me into trouble to begin with. Pray with me. We love you so much. Sometimes we act so out of line, so crazy, so silly, so whatever, so something. It's just there. It just happens. We believe that Jesus Christ had the power to bring his life back because the scriptures say he had the power to give himself his life back. Gospel of John. No one has the power to take my life. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it back. And that power is our gift through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, help us tap into that resource. It's rich. It's flowing. It's there. Help us tap into the resource of your love and grace in your power. We ask it in the holy name of our Savior. Amen.